It's no secret what our text is for today. So we're going to turn to the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. But we're going to begin reading in verse 16 of the previous chapter. So if you found chapter 4 of Malachi, then just back up 3 verses, and we will begin reading at that point. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's a good thing. That's something that we ought to do. God's people ought to get together often and speak together with one another about the great things God has done. And the Lord hearkened. God hears such fellowship and such conversation. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him. It doesn't tell us that a book was written on earth for them. But the book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. It's a good thing to think on His name, because the wicked have not God in all their thoughts. Verse 17, And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth them. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. I'm going to pause here in the reading for just a moment. The Scripture says there's a day coming that shall burn as an oven. And the wicked and the proud are going to be burned up as stubble. We saw some fire, the results of a fire that took place recently in one of the wheat fields. There was a truck that pulled over on the side of the road, and they attempted to refuel it by putting some gas in the carburetor. And somehow it caught fire. And the wheat field next to it caught on fire. And they came and put out the fire, but it had probably burned an acre before the fire was put out. But it was a blessed thing because the wheat had already been harvested, and all that was left was the stubble. But it was really charred. And so the Lord speaks of a day when the wicked are going to be burned. Verse 2, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. He speaks of that awful day, the day of His sovereign judgment. But He promises blessings. We started off in verse 16 with those that feared the Lord. And here He makes the promise in verse 2 of chapter 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. It's a good thing to have the fear of God before your eyes, to worship Him, to reverence Him, to even fear to transgress His holy laws. Verse 4, Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. We end our reading with the end of the Old Testament Scriptures, and trust that the Lord today will give each of us a portion of spiritual meat in due season, even for His own name's sake. Well, we're going to take this last verse of our reading as our text today. And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I want you to listen very carefully today. There was a great battle that day in the wood of Ephraim. The wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom was riding upon a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. Absalom's long hair was caught in the limbs of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and earth. The mule that was under Absalom went away. There Absalom was, hanging, yet alive, in an oak tree. When Joab learned of Absalom's plight, he hurried quickly toward him with three small spears in his hand. Finding Absalom still alive and hanging by his hair, Joab thrust the three small spears through the heart of Absalom. The soldiers standing around Absalom finished him off quickly. With Absalom thus slain, Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. Then they took Absalom's body and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. Absalom had no son to keep his name in remembrance. The report of the great battle was sent that day to King David. Cushai was really the man with the message. Cushai ran and carried the news. He said to David, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." The king asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went up, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." A heartbroken father. Truly, David was willing to die because he knew that all was well with his soul. But he feared the worst for that rebellious son, for all was not well with his soul. There could be no comfort for David that day. He wept the hopeless tears of crushing despair. His darling son was gone, and gone forever. His little boy, the one he had hoped would be saved and changed from a rebel into a repentant prodigal, was lost, gone, and ruined for all eternity. What a broken, torn heart David had for his son. The dark shades of eternal night and destruction had closed over Absalom's soul everlastingly. Surely this is the most lamentable and horrible sorrow that can descend upon the heart of any father. receiving the report that your child has died in the guilt of unrepented sin is some of the worst news possible. This is Father's Day. And I believe God in great mercy has brought us to Malachi's prophecy in order to help us. May He so bless all the fathers and mothers here to the end that we will never have to receive such tragic news about a lost and eternally perishing child. In this last verse of the Old Testament, here is surely the message of great hope. It points to the dawn of a better day. The Son of Righteousness arising with healing in His wings. Messiah the Prince was preparing to plunge to the earth. His messenger was going before His face to prepare the way. This Elijah-like prophet was none other than John the Baptist. The promise of John's coming opened the bright day of New Testament revelation. While God's covenant people were praying at the temple door at the hour of incense, the angel suddenly appeared to old Zacharias inside the temple as he was offering incense. The angel said, "Zacharias, your prayer is heard. You and Elizabeth will soon hold your own baby boy. He shall minister in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Our text clearly divides itself into three parts. I want us to notice these three parts of the text. First of all, there is turning with a holy purpose. Turning with a holy purpose. "And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." That is turning with holy purpose. Secondly, there is turning with happy repentance. "And the heart of the children to the fathers." God says that He will turn the heart of the children to their fathers. And thirdly, there is thwarting the horrible curse. For what does He say at the end of this chapter? "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Oh, how horrible to think that the curse that is already upon this earth would be reinforced with yet another curse. Unless there is a turning of the hearts to the children and a turning of the hearts of the children to the fathers, there will be such a curse. So let us notice, first of all, the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children. The turning with holy purpose. "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." What a solemn and special moment it was when our first child was carefully placed into our arms. Can you remember that? When you were there and the first baby in your family was placed into your arms as a father or as a mother. I remember feeling so clumsy. I didn't want to hurt or break the helpless little thing. What an overwhelming thought it is for fathers to recognize that the little being that has lately come into the world is a creature made for eternity. When the sun shall be extinguished at last, that precious child will either be soaring in heaven or sinking in hell. And I bear so much of the great responsibility of guiding and directing that child to one or other of these destinies. This little child, unlike other things, will endure both body and soul eternally. All of the materials of this world will be subject to rust, dissolution, and decay. Even the great boulders on top of the Rocky Mountains, those great boulders of stone, are gradually worn away by pounding rain, freezing cold, and sweeping wind. Huge stones like them are daily crushed into gravel and into powder. Some gravel will be set in concrete. Others will be pulverized by decades of wheels and tires rolling over them. Metals will be melted and molded and recycled. But my precious child's soul will remain intact through the ages of time and will endure through all eternity. Even that precious little body that you may even see now will be raised one day by the power of omnipotence and omniscience to be fully reassembled to join the soul in eternity. Have you, dear Father, ever felt the weight of this great and grave responsibility? If you have not considered it well, I trust that you will today. You certainly will face it unavoidably at the bar of God at the last day. But much better, much wiser, much happier you will be to face it and to carry this responsibility now, while there is life, while there is hope, and while there is such a thing as prayer. 2 Peter 3:11, seeing these things, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Father, your children are very intelligent beings. You must therefore be very careful what they hear. They must hear from their earliest days the sounds of kindness and love. Their precious ears must not be subjected to hearing the shouts and screams and squabbles of their parents. How selfish and sorry it is of parents to so abuse their children by their own irritable spirits, petulant tempers, and lack of self-control. The American home today is largely dysfunctional, and it is no wonder that children all across this great land are growing up desiring to escape the home, because their parents are themselves children who have never learned to cope with life in a fallen world, and especially haven't learned to put down the motions of sin in their own hearts and lives. We have a young man that's working with us for several weeks this summer. He's a college student from Kansas. And the thing that was so sad that he said, he was glad to be in Decatur rather than be working at one of the mills in Kansas, because he was so happy to get away from his parents. What a horrible testimony! It is so sad that children want to get away from their homes, so many of them, because the homes are places of misery where God said, if you will obey me, then I will make your homes to be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Father, you are the responsible one to make sure you are careful what your children hear and what they see. Of course you want to protect your precious ones from the sights and sounds of iniquity. But what do your children see in you? Are you a good example of the Christian man? Are you genuinely godly? Are you caught in the act of prayer? Do they ever see you reading your Bible? Do you pursue the filth of the world? Or do they see you seriously studying theology and reading good books? Beware, O father or mother, that you are not coaxing and conducting your children toward the bottomless pit. Father, hear me this day. Your heart needs to be turned primarily to the concerns of your children's spiritual needs. Of course, we all have to toil. We all have to obtain for them food and clothing and shelter. Of course we must provide for our children the education that will make their future hopeful and happy. But above and beyond all these things, your heart must be consumed with caring for your children in spiritual and eternal matters. Only then will you see your children turning with happy repentance. The second thing God says in response to turning the heart of the fathers to the children, I believe that it is inevitable that the heart of the children will be turned to their fathers. Your children's hearts will respond in a godly way to a godly example and to genuine love. The angel interprets this verse for us. The preacher doesn't have to stand up here and tell you what this verse means. The angel, even by direction from the Lord, has already given us his clear commentary on this last verse by Luke 1:17. He says, if you fathers will demonstrate real wisdom and by your example teach your children, he's saying there, the disobedient hearts of your children shall be turned to the wisdom of the just. That's what the angel said, as he was directed by God to say that. That if fathers will do that which is godly, then even those children which are even controlled and moved by the Spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, those children, the disobedient heart, shall be turned to the wisdom of the just. If you fathers will demonstrate real wisdom and by your example teach your children what a justified man really is, then your children will repent of their disobedience and they will be made truly happy for all time and for eternity. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, there's the promise. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His name. If you are really praying and earnestly expecting the Lord to save your children, He will not fail nor disappoint you. In due season, ye shall reap if you faint not. Do not dare say, what's the use? It'll never happen for me. O ye of little faith, get your eyes off yourself. Get to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is Father's Day. It's a good day to confess to our children where we have failed. You notice I wasn't speaking in French. I wasn't saying oui, oui, mon zoui, or oui, oui, monsieur. I was saying simply, it is a good day for us to confess to our children where we have failed. This is a good time to begin again with the Lord, setting the Lord always before us. Remember, your children are not stupid. They understand the language of a broken and a contrite heart. Their hearts will by grace be turned to their loving, godly Father. Lastly, our text teaches us the way to thwarting the horrible curse on our children. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How can we thwart or prevent or avoid a horrible curse falling on our children? It's very simple. It is by doing our duty. I'm not saying everything above and beyond the call of duty, but especially doing our duty. Living a real Christian life. Never did a father thwart the horrible curse on his children by continuing in a course of sin. Never did a father do his children any good by continuing in a course of sin. It was the direct result of David's sin that his son Absalom was killed. If David had not committed the murder of Uriah, his son would not have died that horrible death in rebellion. The best thing you can do for your children, O father, is to love and to obey God. He has commanded you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you obey God in this way with all your heart, you can thwart the horrible curse. Your children shall be saved and they shall be blessed. The blessing instead of the curse is due to David's other son, to David's greatest son, Jesus Christ. The thwarting of the curse and the replacing of that curse with a blessing is altogether due to David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, like Absalom, rode to the battle scene. Christ rode upon a donkey. Absalom rode a mule. Absalom was a rebellious prince who tried to wrest the kingdom from his father's hands. Christ was the sinless prince who patiently submitted to his father's will and suffered and received the kingdom with universal dominion in heaven and on earth. In the focal point of the battle, our Jesus, like Absalom, was hanged on a tree. The outcome of the whole war depended on His person and on His bloody death. Like Absalom, Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth. But it was only Christ who could reconcile the two. Both Absalom and Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth. But it was Jesus Christ alone who could reconcile heaven to earth. Well, there they hung as spectacles of wonder, both of them. Absalom dying for his own sins, not able to help his people at all in any way. And there hung Jesus, taking upon Him the sins of all His people. Christ died to save them completely to the uttermost. All that will come unto God by Him. Like Absalom, Christ was surrounded by enemies and armed soldiers. Both Absalom and Christ had their hearts pierced. Christ's blood spelled victory for His people and kingdom. Absalom's blood brought utter defeat for himself and for all his followers. Both Absalom's and Christ's bodies were taken down from the tree and buried nearby. Both bodies were secured in the grave by a great mass of heavy stone. Absalom thus lies forgotten, with no sons to bear his name. But no stone could keep Christ down in a grave. He lives today with many sons already in glory. The vast host of all His redeemed followers and sons is like the sand of the seashore and the stars of the heaven, innumerable. I trust today that every father here and all of us would be brought to truly lament the horrible death of David's greatest son for us. If we truly lament the death of this true and perfect Son of David, when we view that Son aright, we will not have to lament then the horrible deaths of our own rebellious children. I trust that God will bless every father today and each of us for His own namesake. Let us pray. O God, our loving Father, we bow to Thee in the altogether lovely name of Jesus our Lord. We thank Thee that there is a greater than David here. Lord Jesus, Thou art faithful to Thy promise. Where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, Thou art in the midst. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt apply Thy holy truth to all the hearts today. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt minister graciously make our homes to be homes characterized by godliness and heaven's happiness begun even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.